Well, good morning, folks. Lovely to see and to welcome you to our service this morning. To any who is visiting with us, you're very, very specially welcome once again. Then, could I, on your behalf, welcome Alan Martin. Thank him for taking the service this morning on this, which is our Belfast City Mission Day. Alan is ministering up in Fairview Road, where Adrian used to be some years ago. So we're looking forward to what Alan has to say to us this morning. Do remember the United Evening Service, and tonight again it's here in Trinity, and our own Paul McCall will be speaking tonight on the work on Mayo Street, and so we'd encourage you to come back and hear more about the work there. And again, the loose offering tonight is, will go to the Belfast City Mission. Then this incoming week, committee meeting tomorrow night at 7:30, and then the agendas will be available later this afternoon. Do remember the times of prayer this incoming week, Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 11 a.m. Again, the books, Adrian's book, if anybody would still like a copy of Adrian's book, if you speak to Brian or myself, there's more available anyway. And again, also the little free book and the vestibules, there's still some remaining of those. Holiday Bible Club, the date for this is maybe earlier this year than normal, Monday the 17th to 21st of June. And again, we'd covet your prayers for this as Pauline and Nigel would head this up with a team. So please do remember this in your prayers from Monday the 17th to 21st of June. And finally then, if anybody would like to help with the outreach at the Presbytery stall at the Ballymena Showgrounds or Ballymena Show on Saturday the 15th of June, even for an hour, please give your name to Brian at the close of this service, please. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. George, thank you for bringing the announcements, as always. We appreciate you doing that. We do welcome you in the Lord's name and trust that as we gather, we will know the goodness and the presence of God in a mighty way. George, remind us, this is Belfast City Mission Sunday. Of course, I work very close to my own heart. And as we come to worship God, I want to remind you of some words from Acts chapter 8. And I'm reading from verses 4 through to 8. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. And that would be our prayer for the city of Belfast, that is Paul, that is Alan, and as others faithfully bring God's word to many in the city of Belfast, that there would be great joy in our city, and that there would be many who would come to know and to love the Lord Jesus. We're going to worship God this morning as we're going to sing a Getty piece based on Psalm 130. I will pray, I will wait for you. There's a big Getty concert this incoming Saturday night. There's a 1,000-strong choir, and among that 1,000 will be 6 of our own. So we're looking forward to that. I know there's maybe over 30 or so from the congregation going along, and we look forward to that. If you're going on Saturday night, we'll be singing this, so tune your ear in and learn it this morning, and let's worship God together.
Oh.
Well, let's wait on God in prayer. Let's bow before him and seek his face today. Let's all pray. Our gracious God and loving Father, we thank you that we can quieten our hearts, our minds, our souls before you today. We thank you that we can wait upon you. You've called us to come to this meeting house to worship you and to wait around your word. And our prayer would be that as we gather here, may there be that wonderful sense of God's presence among us. May there be that stillness that we would hear the voice of God. That we pray, O God, that you would come and that you would take preeminence over all that's said and done today. We thank you for the wonderful God that you are. And we thank you for your amazing plan of redemption. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who so loved us that he came into the world to be our Redeemer. And we thank you for many in this gathering who would know you in that personal way. And we pray, Lord, that even as we travel through life's journey and as we face the storms that we've been singing about, Lord, we thank you that we can wait upon you, that we can trust upon you, that you're the one who never leaves us. We thank you for that. We thank you that you are that anchor in life's storm. And we thank you that our faith, our confidence is completely in you. Lord, we would also want to commend and pray to you for those who are still strangers to your saving grace, that even this day that you might come afresh, that you might speak, that you might open up those blinded eyes. And the Lord, that those who perhaps today are still far from you may indeed come and know the joy of living for the Lord Jesus Christ. So God, would you come among us? Would you indeed help us to hear the voice of God and indeed to respond to that? For we pray all of these things in the Savior's glorious name. Amen. Well, it is a joy to have Alan Martin with us. I'm not really used to calling him Alan Martin. He's more known as AJ all around the work of the mission. So you're very welcome, AJ. And we trust you'll feel very much at home with us. His first time to be in our pulpit. And Alan's going to come just now, read the scriptures, and then bring our children's address. So thanks, Alan.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all out. I was able to lie in this morning, got the passport stamped about Antrim, coming up into this vicinity. I remember doing a service down on the border at Newton Hamilton, and two of the little churches were across the border, and the first thing I said, there was no microphone stuff or anything, and I says, it's nice that I could make an incursion over the border. There was no wall there then, and I still don't think there'll be a wall from now on. I wanted to put that to bed if you're going down there, because I visit the south quite often, and PCI is the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, and God's doing a powerful work even down there, and sometimes down there with all the goings on, and people are easier to talk to, and that's what we find, that we find it's good to talk to people. I'm here to read God's word just now, and this is where God's word will speak to us. The word of God will speak. Yes, Brian speaks, I speak, Paul speaks, but God speaks, and he's here this morning to speak to you. I'm going to read from the book of Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 through to 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through to 20. I always wonder, how is it that we can journey with God, we can walk with God? I was saved 20 years ago, and now I'm 47, and I feel like a 20-year-old. Well, I didn't feel it this morning, I got up out of bed, but I feel it when I get up and running and get my coffee into me. And but to journey with God, to walk with God. How do we do that? Well, here's how we do that. We'll read now. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. With me there at verse 20, and God will bless this reading to each one of our hearts this morning. The boys and girls, if you want to come down to the front, we'll have a chat. Are we all here? My wife says I'm sometimes not with her, and I'm not all there. Are we here? Holiday's 3 weeks, is it? Who's going away on holiday? Who's going away? Have you stuff booked? Yeah. I haven't booked my holiday yet. My wee men, 10 and 8, wee girl, Emma. Harry's 10, Jack's 8, Emma's 3. We're going to Legoland. But we mightn't go with Jack, the middle one. He's like me. He's a rocket ship. And he has to behave. It's good to be good for your parents. That is the most wonderful thing, to be good for your parents. I probably was very bad to my parents. I'm always on the move. I'm always on the go. I don't lie about much. I waken up at 6 in the morning every morning because Jack, the middle one, is always up at 6 in the morning. Emma will follow at 7 o'clock. Harry will lie in about 8 o'clock. We're all different. We're all unique. But I don't lie about. And see, when you lie about, it's called slothfulness. Isn't that a great word? Slothfulness, to be slothful. It's one of the 7 deadly sins. And I wondered what... I wondered what this slothfulness was about. So I bought a dictionary. I haven't bought a dictionary since I was at primary school all those years ago. And I even kept the receipt of this one so I can return it if I don't damage it. But we'll read what slothfulness is. S-L-O-T-H, slothfulness. Ready, ready? It says it rhymes with growth. Growth and sloth. It's maybe the way you say it, but sloth is laziness. Sloth is laziness. That's an easy thing to do, isn't it? To be slothful, to be lazy. That's so easy. And it also says this, it's a South and Central American animal that moves very slowly and hangs upside down from the branches of trees. It's a South and Central American animal that moves very slowly and hangs upside down from the branches of trees. Right? Has anyone ever saw a sloth, a real life sloth? No? Go down to Dublin Zoo. There is one down there because I saw it. I went down to see what the sloth was like. But I've got one for you to see today. Isn't that exciting? And we're going to show it up on the screen.
This is a three-toed sloth, a female. And she's ravenously hungry. It's the leaves she's after. However, in order to protect themselves, rainforest leaves are often tough, rubbery, and full of toxins. They're indigestible and lacking in energy. But that hasn't stopped the sloth. With large multi-chambered stomachs containing a unique mix of bacteria, they're able to deal with the tough leaves. But it's not a quick process. Sloths have the slowest digestion of any mammal. It can take them 2 weeks to process a single meal, and it's a hopelessly inefficient process. Sloths had two options. Either they had to eat more or do less. Sloths evolved to do less. Their entire lifestyle is all about expending as little energy as possible.
Huh. Isn't that class? Isn't it? Who's good at being a sloth? I think all of us can do that, especially when we've been busy all year round and we've been working hard at school. We just need a wee rest. But God doesn't want us to take a wee rest. God wants us to be out and about and sharing the love of Jesus. So we have to be bold and very courageous, as Joshua tells us. We have to be bold and very courageous in sharing Jesus with others. Now, see, after this journey up to Ballymena, Ahuachal, I'll be tired this afternoon, and I'll maybe lie down, and I'll maybe take a wee rest, because as you get older, you need a wee rest, because I maybe have to speak tonight at the mission hall. But if I sleep on through, I'll not make it. But God wants me up and about, and he wants you up and about, sharing the love of Jesus. We saw the sloth, but I've brought one with me. Amazing. Oh, what do you think of him? Isn't he great? Has anyone got one of these? This is a onesie. I didn't say it was my onesie. But I can even go early to the mission hall tonight and I can just get in and slip it on and go to sleep, can't I? So easy, so that I'm rested to preach the gospel tonight. Because it's good for us to take time aside to rest. That's good as well. But sometimes we can take too much rest and not be out and about and doing what Jesus wants us to do and sharing that love of Jesus with other boys and girls. We do that at the mission hall. We share the love of Jesus. And the best way to share the love of Jesus with somebody, here's the best way. I've found this out. It's giving them a Bible. That's the best thing anyone can do. What happens is, at Christmas time with the toil peel, your church gives money, it gives some foodstuffs, it gives toys, it gives Bibles. And what I do, I grab hold of any Bibles I can get, and I go into our estate in Ballyduff, and I knock on the doors, and I say to the person, sometimes they're in their onesie at 12 o'clock in the middle of the day, and sometimes there are other things, and I don't go into those houses. But what I do say to them, have you got a Bible? And see, the number of people don't even have a Bible way down in Belfast. People don't have Bibles. But I think of our Good News Club there on a Friday night. And I remember talking about being bold and very courageous. That's what God said to Joshua. That's what we need to be. I was talking about that, and I said to him, now, if anyone needs a Bible, you know what? This little girl and this little boy come up to me after and says, could I have a Bible? I says, of course you could. I didn't have any in the mission hall and knew one for them, but I said, I'll bring it next week, and I did. That wee girl was from the estate, maybe a girl about 8 years old, and we were able to give a Bible to that wee girl. See, her cousin, the wee boy, where he was from, South Africa. He was visiting his cousin, so he was able to give a Bible to them too. So where do you think the Bible is now? South Africa. And it's also in Ballyduff Estate. But the important thing is that we need to open the Bible. And we need to read the Bible. And we need to let the Word of God speak. We're not to lie about. We're not to be slothful. But we're to be energetic with the gospel. We're still to take our rest, which is good. And then we're prepared through prayer to go and share the words of God, the word of Jesus. Only you can do that because you are special. I do not know the other children or teachers or parents in these local schools. I don't know them, but you do. You can go and give someone a Bible. And you can do that. And also this, if your mommy and daddy or grandparents are still not Christians, you can read their Bible to them. My wee girl Emma, who's 3, often says, "Daddy, you read this." So I'm reading about Jonah and the big fish, and I'm reading all this stuff. And she's learning that. Isn't that wonderful? It's amazing what you can do, but you have to be bold and very courageous, not lie about, not be slothful, but be energetic for Jesus. Will you just do that? Yeah? Can I pray for you? Heavenly Father, just pray for the boys and girls and for the mums and dads and family and relatives here today. Just bless them. Bless them today. Let them enjoy God today. Everything that God has given us, we thank you for. But everything he will give us in the future, we thank you for. But more so, we thank you for salvation. So wonderful and so free. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song.
Yes, we're going to sing and worship God together. A great hymn, "Hear the Call of the Kingdom." And as we sing that, the boys and girls can go back to their seats. Thank you all. Well, this morning in our prayers of intercession, we're going to pray for the work of the Belfast City Mission. I was just thinking, it was almost 25 years ago, 1st of July, and next month, 25 years ago, when I started into the work of the Belfast City Mission. And what a great work it is. As you'll know, through the work of the mission, I came to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And so it's a work that I hold closely to. And this morning, we want to remember those who currently serve on the staff of the City Mission. So let's come before God and let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you and praise you that we can join in prayer. We can pray for those who have heard the call of the kingdom to go and to serve you in the city of Belfast. We thank you, Lord, for this old mission seeking to proclaim Christ through various ways to those who are without the Lord in many needy situations. And so today we want to remember Bobby Brown, the Executive Secretary of the Mission. We pray that you'll continue to encourage Bobby as he leads the mission in these days. We pray that he would know your leading and your guiding, and that, Lord, that your blessing would be upon his life. And even as we would think into next year, as Bobby has indicated that he's going to retire, we pray that you will again be leading the man of your choice to come and to take up the reins of Executive Secretary, and that the work of the mission will continue to expand and progress in the days ahead. We thank you for the 16 halls dotted around the city of Belfast. We thank you for each of the men who faithfully plod the streets, who faithfully seek to bring God's word in various ways. We thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness in the preaching of your word, and we pray that you will again encourage each of them. Thank you for bringing Alan among us today and for his ongoing work there in Ballyduff. We pray that he will know God's goodness and God's blessing. And we pray that he and his wife and little family will know the Lord's richness upon their lives. And again, Lord, as they seek to bring your word into that community, may there be signs following that. We thank you for Paul McCall, Lord, a faithful member here in Trinity. And thank you for Lorraine and their boys. And we again want to pray for them as a family today. We pray that you'll continue to be with Paul as he would travel back and forth the Mayo Street. Keep him safe on the roads. Continue, Lord, to encourage them as a family. And we pray, even as Paul would share of that work afresh this evening, may that be an encouragement to all who would gather in. And so, Lord, we do pray that you will bless all connected with the Belfast City Mission. Do continue, Lord, to use this mission as an agency of drawing people to yourself. Do, Lord, continue to meet the financial needs of the Belfast City Mission. And we pray that in all of these things, may we see our great God mightily at work. So hear our prayers, Lord. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. We continue to worship God as we present to him our offering. And you'll have seen on the little announcement sheet, if you want, even in the week ahead, to give something to the work of the City Mission, just pop that in an envelope and we'll be sure to add it to today's offering. We worship God, and as we do that, the choir will lead us in that lovely piece from the breaking of the dawn. I stand in every promise of your word. Let us worship God. Your offering will now be received.
For all who will believe, we will stand.
Well, thank you as always to the ministry of the choir this morning. May God bless you. And for those who are involved on Saturday night, we pray that that will be a blessed time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the truth that the choir have been bringing to us in song, that we can stand on every promise of your word. Thank you that you are a faithful God. We thank you that you faithfully meet our needs day by day, hour by hour. And we thank you in the Lord's Day, we can return to you what rightly belongs to you. So we pray that as these tithes and offerings have been presented to you, that you'll take them, you'll bless them, you'll use them for the extending of your kingdom. Praying it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We worship God again with another great hymn, I Will Go in the Strength of the Lord, and then we'll hand the rest of the service over to Alan. Thank you. Let's stand together. I thought I was going to my seat, but it wasn't. Just a wee announcement that needed to be made was that at the end of the service, if you're normally on the rota for Children's Church and Creche, you'll find those rotas in the vestibules. So if you're normally on a rota, please pick those up at the end. That would be a great help. Thanks so much. Thanks, all.
Well, good afternoon. It's after 12. It's good to be here. Been here on different occasions, but this first time I've been let loose in the pulpit. My wee minister wouldn't let me loose at the General Assembly at all. He avoided me. He's the new moderator, my wee minister. And I don't know if I'll ever get an opportunity to do something like what he's doing. He's off on holiday for a year, I think. And But he was on the radio there this morning defending the cause and all that. Everybody's worried about certain things. I'd be worried about the sin in my life. That's what I'd be worried about. I'd be worried about sin in other people's life. But maybe I shouldn't be as worried because God deals with that, doesn't he? Two things happened on Monday night. It was great. I went to the opening of the General Assembly. People may say, that's boring. But I actually enjoyed it because it was a great opportunity to meet people. I had my first Presbyterian chocolate eclair. I haven't had that before. We went after all the dignitaries. The Lord Mayor of Belfast was there. Ronnie Armour, our wee superintendent out of the city mission, was there. He's got a big job in government. Different people were there, all the dignitaries. And they were invited, and after they got a great feed at the expense of Presbyterian Church in Ireland, they got a great feed, and they ushered in down there to the old Spires Centre. It used to be a chip shop downstairs. Now it's a conference centre downstairs. And there was chocolate eclairs sitting. And I says, I haven't saw one of those before. And I went and ate one. And it was nice. And all the Presbyterian ministers lined up and they started. They kept saying, I shouldn't be eating this, but they ate it anyway. But the great and the good were there. All the sinners were there. Saved sinners and those that haven't been converted yet. And I said to myself, I want to talk to one man. And I could go up to anyone and just have a chat with him because we're never off duty as city missionaries, as Christians, we're never off duty. And I started praying for one man I would speak to. Now, this man got a lot of hurt in the troubles and he's still suffering a lot of pain and hurt in the troubles. And I says, I need to share with him because our wee minister got up and he preached about forgiveness. He preached about repentance. People don't do repentance. That was a comment made by a former moderator. Society does not do repentance. But we do repentance if we want to come to Christ, don't we? We have to say sorry for our sin. Because he has forgiven us at the cross of Calvary. So I said to myself, now, if God wants me to speak to this man, we'll speak to this man. You're wondering who this man is, but I'm not going to tell you. You can work it out for yourselves. So it was near time to go, and I had to go upstairs to the Presbyterian toilets and went up there, and this man was coming out. And I says, how are you, John? He says, I'm fine. And I says, the Word of God was speaking to you tonight. He looked at me, and then he nodded his head. I says, you've been hurt, you've suffered, you're in pain. I says, you need trust in the Savior. And then I asked him about his job. He's in a line of business there. I think he's a solicitor. And we talked to him about that. We talked to him about his mommy, who's very supportive of him. But we left it with him, that the word, let the Word of God speak. And that's what it's about, letting the Word of God speak. So I went out the door and I went home and went for the next 3 or 4 days to the General Assembly. Spent more time drinking coffee and chatting than actually sitting and voting and doing all the stuff they do. But because there's people to do that, and they don't necessarily need me. But it was good to mix and match. It's good to link in with people of our denomination to encourage one another. That's what we're meant to be doing. We're not to be lying about being slothful and being lazy. We're meant to be encouraging one another. We're meant to be enjoying God. Life can be so easy, can't it? We can make life easy. We can just do what suits us. Sometimes we get excited about things. Sometimes we just don't get excited about too much. We can just say to ourselves, I'm going to put this off for another day. Procrastination. I'll not say that word again. It's like that radio guy, he said phenomenon. I'll not say that word again. Isn't that right? Procrastination, putting things off. We can do that. We can put things off for another day. We can even say to ourselves, well, I'll not share Jesus with that person because I'll do it tomorrow. Or even if we're not a Christian here this afternoon, we say, I'll get saved tomorrow. You know that's an impossibility. You'll get saved when God saves you. But it's today. Today is the day of salvation. We have to always remember our lives are precious. And we have to remember time is very short. So we must use our time very wisely. Matt Maher, a Christian songwriter, he sings a song there, Living on Borrowed Time. And maybe you've heard it. The main theme of that song is using time wisely. Here's how this line reads. The clock is ticking. Are you going to start living? You really have only got this life. You're living on borrowed time. The clock is ticking. Are you going to start living? You really have only got this life. You're living on borrowed time. Doesn't Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, remind the church at Ephesus? Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Be very careful. That's the warning, isn't it? How you live. Telling us to make the most of every opportunity. I wonder, do we do this? And the question we can ask ourselves today, what is important in our Christian lives? The answer, our walk with God and our devotion to Him. The Shorter Catechism asks this question, what is the supreme purpose of humanity? The supreme purpose of humanity is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So how do we do this? Quite simply, by using God's Word, the Bible, to show us how to glorify and enjoy Him. We're not enjoying God if we're not using the Word of God. Of course, that's the theme for the Presbyterian Church in Ireland this year. So as we turn to our passage today in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 20, it shows us something, how we live out our faith. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. He reminds them there is a battle which we as the church are involved in. But hallelujah, victory is secure. Victory is secure in Christ. The war is won through what Christ has done at Calvary. As God works out His plans and His purposes for His church, there are many battles to fight for the faith. And it's a spiritual battle. And it's all in how we respond as individuals to the call of God on our lives. From our passage today, we're going to see three things. We'll see firstly how God prepares us. We'll see secondly how God alerts us. And thirdly, how God empowers us. Firstly, God prepares us. We read in Ephesians 6, 10 to 17. And you can follow this with me in the Word of God. It says there in verse 11, put on the full armor of God. That is the order of the commanding officer, God Himself. Put on the full armor of God. He doesn't say put half the armor on. See, if we're lazy soldiers, we only put half the armor on. If you know anything about warfare, know anything about soldiering, they're given a certain amount of armor to wear. They're given a helmet, they're given body armor, given protection. We're to put on the full armor of God. That's what God tells us. We're to put on the belt of truth, and that's God's truth, and that's His word in Scripture, because the gospel is true, and we know it's the deepest need of every man, woman, and child on the face of this earth. That's what people need, the gospel. It was in verse 14. It says we're told the breastplate of righteousness is in place. It doesn't say put it on. It says it's in place. You know how it's in place? Because we're saved. Because we're made right with God through what Christ has done for us on Calvary. Our sin is dealt with. The breastplate of righteousness is in place. We're justified. Justification when we come the faith in Jesus. We're justified. We're declared holy. This means that we're counted holy. We're made right with Him. We are accepted. We are accepted. We're not acceptable, but we are accepted. Have you come and have you trusted in Christ today? Are you sitting here in this little church? There in the center of the universe, as Big Adrian often says. Are you sitting here and you've been sitting for years, but you haven't accepted Christ as your own and personal Savior? Of course, this is only the start of the process. All of us, as we're being sanctified, we're a work in progress, aren't we? It's like a potter molding and shaping the clay. We get saved, but we're not stuck. We're being molded each day into the likeness of Christ. That's called sanctification, the process of being made holy. But of course, as Christians, sin still clings to us. And this matter of laziness and slothfulness, this is a sin that needs dealt with. It's constant. It's constant sometimes in our daily work because we're maybe not giving our best to Jesus. We have the footwear, of course. Verse 15, be always ready to spread the gospel. We take up the shield of faith in verse 16 as we trust in Jesus to lead and to guide us. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. He is the good shepherd that leads and guides us. And of course, he will lead us along that narrow road that goes to heaven. We have Christ. We have salvation. That's the most wonderful thing, to know Jesus, to have peace in your life, to know that you're going to heaven. Met a man there with Willie Logan, who's one of the city missionaries in, where's Willie? He's listening. In Sandy Row. And we go out for coffee. I would be the coffee drinker of the city mission, wouldn't it, Paul? He's too busy that he doesn't take time. I take a lot of time in the coffee shop. Still doing my work, because you meet people. So Willie and I are sitting there, and we're talking about the things of God, talking about the General Assembly, and there's this man, and he butted into our conversation, a Roman Catholic man. And he says to me, or under Willie, are you Christians? And Willie says, I are. And he says, right. And he says, I tell people about my faith. And he says, well, what faith is that? What faith are you telling people about? Well, he says, how it's important to trust in Jesus. That's what he said. I says, right, and do you do that? And he says, he does, because I knew where he was coming from. But he says, I still pray to the saints. I says, what saints would you pray to? And he named a few saints. He still attended a Roman Catholic chapel on the Lisburn Road. So did he have salvation or no salvation? What had he? I don't think he had. I think he was just a real zealous religious person that liked to share his faith. Maybe he was a lonely man for the last 6 years because his wife died. She was Church of Ireland. But he made conversation with us. Now, he didn't share about his denomination, and neither did we. Because we're not out there to do that. We're there to share Jesus in Christ alone, as the Gettys sing, in Christ alone. That's what salvation is about. Not about religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus. We chatted away to him. We prayed with him. You pray for this man, Frank. You pray for Frank. Because during the General Assembly week, that was midweek, I saw him again. He was in the Starbucks shop. He does more coffee shops than me. But I didn't go near him because I leave it to God. God is the author of salvation. All we are ambassadors. All we are, we do the work of an evangelist. We share the love of Jesus. Because it's easy when someone talks to us. Very few people will come up to you and start talking about their faith. We couldn't believe it. But maybe we're limiting God. We have Christ. We have salvation as we wear the helmet, as we listen to the Word of God speak. See, preparation is so vital. Good preparation is important. I went to Belfast Bible College, as your minister did, Big Adrian did. And God called me when he saved me at the age of 20. And so somewhere down the line, I was called to Bible College before. I've been serving for nearly 15 years in the city mission now. I'm due for retirement, actually, probably shortly as well. Who's retiring? Bobby's retiring. Must ask about my retirement too. But no, the thing is this. God calls us and he prepares us because preparation is important. The army cannot survive without the stores, without the company quartermaster of stores, as the people behind the scenes. Do you know who's behind my scene and who's in front of me and around me at all times? God himself, because he supplies my need. My need is to speak the word of God boldly, and I can only do that. And the other city missionaries can only do that if God is with them, and guiding them. And you can only do that as you go out and about in the Hockle and Ballymena and Port Stewart and Port Rush and all that. I'm thinking summer holidays. And you can only do that if God is with you, as he supports you, as he works in and through unworthy characters such as us. Secondly, today we see how God alerts us. We read in verse 18, and this is the important thing. This is the main point. This is the main thing. It says this in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. That tells me of something else that we as the church can do. Pray. L.A.T. Van Doren says this, prayer is not intended to be a quick and easy give me. Prayer is an attitude of life. It is fellowship with the Lord and Savior, a spiritual exercise intended to be as much as part of the Christian life as breathing is to the physical life. If we don't breathe, we are dead. If we do not walk with Jesus, we are dead. If we do not pray, we cannot function right. We cannot do what God wants us to do. It is good to talk to God. It is good to pray. And do you know why? Because we have an enemy. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 tells us, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Lion devour you for the kids. I go down to Dublin Zoo there and there's lions. There used to be a man in North Belfast. He used to, Buck Alec, I think he called him, and he kept a lion. I don't know where you would get a permit to keep a lion nowadays. They're always escaping from, other things are escaping from Belfast Zoo at the minute. But be self-controlled. That is what God is telling us. He's telling us there is an enemy. And he's prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We need to be vigilant and we need to practice in our spiritual exercise. We're not to glide through life. You ever see the glider buses? One had a catastrophe yesterday. I think I heard it on the news. It drove itself into a lorry, or a lorry drove into it. The lorry must have been in the bus lane. But those gliders float around Belfast, and they just glide in their own time and make time and maybe get there quicker. God has an appointed time for us to be saved. Will you be saved today? Or are you just gliding through life and you're putting it off? The devil is active and he does not want you to come to Christ. He's trying to discourage the Christian. So we need to be active in resisting the temptation and standing firm in our faith. That's how we do that within the Belfast City Mission there at Fairview Road. And do you know the people there are no different than the people here? The people are sinners. And what did Christ do? He came into the world to save sinners. There seems to be labels put up on people. There seems to be a hierarchy of sin. All sin will keep you out of heaven unless you get saved. And only Christ can do that. God promises to be with us, to be firm and steadfast with us in our faith. We need to be watchful and not slothful. We need to be alert and resisting the devil. And how do we do this? Spending time in prayer. We appreciate your prayers in the Belfast City Mission. It's great because as missionaries, we get together every Friday and we pray and we talk and we chat and we encourage one another. That's one thing I notice about PCI ministers. They see each other at General Assembly, and unless they have a close fellowship within, say, the three churches here, which you used to. Some ministers are very isolated. And the devil can have a field day, especially if there's problems and turmoils. We are blessed in the City Mission that we can get together and encourage one another. Of course, at Fairview Road, Ballyduff, I have the biggest garden in the City Mission. Big Adrian wouldn't have known about the garden that much. He got someone to cut it. But I cut the garden for the last 10 years because I come from a farming background. And I think I've got my third cut done. You haven't got your second cut done yet, but I'm on my third cut. And I'll go and cut the garden. But over the years, I've met people and they've said to me when I've started with my wee fly-mo, says, why are you cutting the garden with a wee fly-mo? I says, well, I haven't got any money to get something with an engine. I now have a great big Toro with double blades. Oh, it's a flying machine. And 10 years later, and it's my own. It doesn't belong to the mission. I'll say that in case we move Paul up to my mission hall. It's mine. And we cut the grass, but I remember in the first couple of years, I met a man called Colin. And Colin said to me, AJ, I'll give you a hand to cut the grass. I have one with an engine. So he cut the grass. And Colin and I would talk. And Colin started taking an interest in the things of God, visited him at his home. His wee wife's from, where was the hotel that you could have got a carver in years ago? It's knocked down now, out at Brashean. I used to have been at that, aye. So I remember Colin's wife was from that direction. She's still outside of Christ. But Colin asked me the questions about 8 years ago whilst cutting grass. Through him saying to me, you need help cutting this grass. I drew attention to myself using this fly-mo. Colin started asking things and seeking. I started praying for Colin and talking to him. But God didn't need me. God doesn't need us. Colin started attending one of those courses, you know, evangelical course at a local church. He did the course 7 times. He was that good at retaining information about that course that he could have actually taught it. So after about his 5th time doing that course, you know, the way there's Christianity Explored, Christianity Explained, even Alpha, there's even those courses. He did this course 7 times, and then God saved him. Actually, you don't need to do a course to get saved, because it was in God. I know how I know he's saved now. Don't see him now. He doesn't come to the mission hall. His sister does. Because I was at Christmas, there was this man called, I'm not dropping any names, he's a very posh man, the Conservative Party. I was invited to a dinner, a DUP dinner. Rees-Mogg, I said his name, Rees-Mogg was there. And I was invited to that. And Colin wouldn't vote for DUP, but he'd be a TUV guy. But he was at the party. He says, AJ, don't tell them I'm TUV. And he says, you know what, AJ? I got saved. And he told him, and that was wonderful. Colin got saved. I says, where do you go to worship? And he told me where he goes to worship in Belfast. 8 years ago, we started talking to Colin, but before the foundation of the world, when Christ was on the cross, he was thinking about Colin. We're called to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel. We're not to pick and choose who to talk to and not to talk to. We're to talk to the Johns. We're to talk to the Collins. We're also to talk to the Herbies. Going to baptism tonight. Full water immersion baptism. You believe it? I'm going to one of those tonight. I'm not doing it. I'm Presbyterian. And we're going to a local church where Herbie and Eleanor are getting baptized. Eleanor came to faith in Adrian's time at the mission hall, but Herbie would ask all these questions. He'd be looking at other people and other Christians and saying to himself, I'm as good as they are. Ever do that? I'm as good as they are. We let God down, don't we? Herbie got saved 2 years ago. And Eleanor says to me a month ago, she says, we're getting baptized. I says, that's good. She said, we're getting baptized. I knew I wasn't doing it. My wee minister wouldn't let me do something like that. I says, where are you getting it done? And when? So tonight at 6:30, you pray for Herbie and Eleanor. Herbie came to faith. She prayed. That was her prayer for all those years. And her partner would come to faith. Maybe that's your prayer today. That your partner would come to faith. Keep praying. God is the author of salvation. So we're going tonight to that service. Looking forward to that. What a joy that is. I didn't lead Herbie to the Lord. I didn't lead Colin to the Lord. God saved them. That's what's important. Pray for that pair, and they come to us. That's the purpose of the City Mission. When people get converted in the housing estates, maybe they don't have close connection with a big church. Maybe they feel they don't fit into big church. But then we introduce them to big church. But actually, see that church, they're getting baptized, and I never introduced them. They went themselves and sought fellowship. Because God directs us where we need to go for fellowship. I meet a lot of people in my travels, and they've had an experience with God. But when they knock on the doors, start talking to them. And I remember going to the door, and there was a flag up. And I says, I don't like that flag. That gets your attention. And I says, no, he's joking. And I says, see that flag? It represents for God and something. And I says, listen, do you know God? You put your flag up, but do you know God? He says, well, actually, I did have an experience with God a number of years ago, but I fell away. I got connected with things and fell into things. Got distracted. Loads of Christians out there, isn't there, that have got distracted. Maybe they're a friend of yours and they used to go to church, but somebody said something to them and they took the hump and went somewhere else. You know that person. I suggest you go after that person. You pray for them and you go after them. Just turn up anywhere. That's what the city missionaries do. We just turn up anywhere. We walk in the door and you can only do that when God gives you strength to do that because he calls us to do that. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. See my mission hall, my numbers? See on a Sunday night? They're just dropping away because people are getting older. And do you know I notice that in churches? Just a decline in people sitting in pews. It's not about that. It's about us sharing the gospel. Let God do the rest. Let God plant his churches. Let God build his work because it is his work. Let God do what God's going to do. But be used by God. Be empowered by God as we finish with our third point. No clock on that wall. Look back, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We must declare fearlessly the word of God. John Lennox, the Christian apologist, John Lennox is the uncle of Christian Goethe, Kirsten Goethe. John Lennox, he's a Christian apologist. Have no fear, he says, in persuasive evangelism. Here's what he says, witnessing is like swimming. You shall never be sure the water will hold you up until you commit yourself and get into it. Take the plunge and witness, and you will find the Lord will hold you up as he has promised. Take the plunge and witness. I wonder, will you do that? Will you engage with people where you're at, in your workplace, at your home, amongst family? On your holidays, will you take time and stop with people and not say, as someone yesterday, I said to them down the street, I said to them, do you want to go for a cup of coffee? And they said, no, that they were busy. So I went anyway. But they were too busy to take time. Maybe I was in need, but I had no one to talk to. I finished with this story. I encourage you never to be off duty. Always to be empowered and always to be alert. My mother-in-law, as bad as Bobby Brown here, my mother-in-law lives down in Fermanagh. She's an hour away, and that's far enough away. But I go down to see my mother-in-law every so often. She's a good soul. I'll see her today. We're going for a barbecue at the home in Ballyclare. Richard, who used to go to the other church there, Richard Chess, I'm dropping names. Richard Chestnut was in another church and now he goes to a church in Ballyclare, but I have the same mother-in-law. But I'm the worst son-in-law out of them all. They don't say much to her, but I would just wind her up, and I shouldn't. But I was going down to visit them in Dungannon last summer, and I was driving down the road early, up at 5 in the morning, and down the road, and there was no traffic except police coming up the other way. I'm glad I'm going the other way so they weren't chasing me. And I went down, and there was a wee junction for the turnoff that I needed, and there was a man standing there. And he seemed stressed out, so I rolled down my window. Well, you don't do that anymore, sure you don't. You press the button. But you look out your window, and you see this man standing. I says, what's wrong with you then? He says, I've had a terrible time. And I looked around him, and I saw a car parked in the hole in the hedge. But there was no hole because his car was in that hole. And that's why he was stressed out. And I says, sure, get in with me. And he was in that much shock, he got in with me. And he come around, he sat in. I says, where are you going? He says, I'm going to my workplace. I says, I'll take you there. We were in that car for half an hour, though his workplace was 15 minutes away, but I went the long way, and I shared with him the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I said to him, do you know what? God was looking after you. He says, I know that. I says, aye. You know that? You need to trust him more. I says, are you a Christian? He says, no, I'm a Muslim. I says, right. I says, do you pray much? Oh, I pray 5 or 6 times a day, whatever they pray. I says, I pray all day. That doesn't get me into heaven. And then we talked about this, that, and the other. I could smell a wee bit of drink on his breath. He had traveled from Finnickey, where he lived with his family, to Dungannon, where he worked, but nowhere he was born. He was born in Nigeria. He grew and worked in Nigeria before he come across to Northern Ireland. And he didn't have the same color of skin as you and me. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that we can present the gospel to everyone? I don't know if that's our Judea or Jerusalem or Samaria or what. All I know was that was my Nigerian experience. And I never saw the man again. I dropped him at his workplace. And all we had to do was share the gospel, because leave it to God. That's all we do in the city mission. Share the gospel. We tell people about the love of Jesus and how we enjoy God. And that's what we do here. That's what we do in PCI. That's what we do as Christians. When we're born again in the Spirit of the living God, that's just what we do. Are you doing that? Let's pray. Father, we just bless your name today and thank you that you lift us up and you carry us when we're going through the hard times in life. But we lift your name up today. We glorify your name. We exist only because of you. Every breath we take is because of you. Lord, help us continue to do the work of an evangelist. Wherever that is, in the Hockle, Ballymena, and Belfast, wherever, to the uttermost parts of the world. And we know that many people, many tribes, many people groups, many sinners will come to you. You'll call them. You'll convict them of their sin, and they will do repentance, and they will trust in you. That's our prayer in his name. Amen. We're going to finish, O Church, Arise.
Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.